Welcome to Everyday Extraordinary Mom podcast. I'm your host, Xuan. In each episode, we will share an inspiring everyday extraordinary mom's story. We laugh, we cry, we celebrate, we grow together. Hope you enjoy this journey with us. Lou is a mortgage broker with more than 15 years of experience in the lending industry. Having left the corporate world when she turned 50, Lou started her own mortgage broker group in Bayside, Melbourne, Abundance and Beyond. Lou and her awesome husband Steve raised two daughters, aged 16 and 11. Lou's passion is contributing to mothers and women in business. In this episode, Lou shares with us how she discovers herself as a mortgage broker and as a mother, what is truly important to her, and how she embodies authenticity in her business and home life, and how she prepares her teenage girls for the real world.
Hi, Lou. Thank you so much for joining my podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, I want you to start by telling us the story of how you become the person that you are professionally.
So we turn back the time from when I first left high school in year 12 back in 88, I think it was. 88, yeah, 89, yep. My passion was to be a nurse, so I became a dental nurse and did that for about 4 or 5 years, and then decided I wanted to get in sales. So then I worked for some medical companies selling stationery to start up medical stationery. Then I went to pharmaceutical, which I loved, which was interstate travel and selling blood pressure tablets. And then I had a friend say, oh, you should come and work for me. He was in insurance and he did a lot of work with medical doctors and dentists, and said, you should come and sell home loans to doctors, because you know a lot of doctors. I'm like, okay, then. That was back in the year 2000. And won the clock forward now. I've been in the lending industry since then. I have had two children in that time and had a little bit of time off. And in that time of having off, I did work in our family business, a landscaping business. And in 2019, I left the corporate world. I was a mortgage broker in a corporate company and set up my own consulting business, where initially I was working with brokers, supporting them with their compliance, recruitment, processing. And then 3 weeks ago, I've just launched my own brokering company. So, yeah, so that's how I've become in terms of where I've come in my career.
And I guess the pivotal moment is when your friend said, you know, how about you join me to do lending services to the network that you already have? And then getting into corporate and then starting up your own gig. Can you tell us a bit more about how your week look like now comparing to how it was when you were in corporate, like on a weekly basis?
Yeah, sure. So when I was in corporate, I was working really long hours, and particularly I found it tiring with children. So I'd be working hours from 9 to 3 to pick up children, and then come home, feed them, then get back on the computer. And I have an amazing husband who would do dinners most night and then could be on the computer very late in the evening, which really didn't work, and which was one of the reasons why in the end I said no more. When I turned 50, I'm like, I'm not doing these hours anymore. I'm just not doing these hours. So now that I'm consulting and got my own brokering group, I get to choose my hours. So very flexible. Like this week I've just got back from interstate travel, so I just blacked out my diary for yesterday, so if I wanted to do things I could. So I just gave that flexibility of having, you know, to be able to get the house back on track after being away, and really having that space as well for creation, because when I was in the corporate world it was go, go, go the whole time, and I always found when I went on holidays that that was the only time I really got to create and think about what else I could be doing. So I make a conscious effort during my month to do that as well with myself, and then also meet up with my mentor and a few other, you know, people like myself, women who are in business, and create together. So very flexible. I've gone from crazy to flexible, which I love.
Yeah, it sounds like when you're in corporate, you're like a small part of a big machine that always need to be turning. And then now that you're your own boss, you can decide when you need to go faster and when you need to go slower and when you need to stop and reflect. And that sounds like a very good transition for you.
Absolutely. And one of the main reasons I left the corporate world, like I've said before, was it's because of the hours. And my little girl at that time was struggling with school. So I decided that it was time for me to spend some more time with her. And it's made a massive difference to both my girls being around more and being present. When I was in the corporate world, I was not present. I'd be like, yep, yep. And even my youngest daughter back then, she'd go, Mum, you're not listening. I'd be like, you know what? I'm not listening. It was just like, as you said, on this treadmill the whole time, running, running, running. And, you know, those little ears or little eyes and noses would be right near me and I wouldn't even be listening. I couldn't even have the time to listen to them. So that's what I love about being flexible now and having that creation time. It's really important.
Yeah, and it's crazy that what kids can pick up from their parents, it's like they mirror it back to you how you are with them, sometimes in the most unexpected ways. And I don't know, was it a shock for you when they said that?
Certainly made me wake up to myself. And initially I'm like, no. And then after that night, I was like, she's actually really right. I'd be just saying, yeah, when it was not even the right answer. So, yeah, very present to why she was a really anxious little girl, and, you know, I took full responsibility of that. And, yeah, 2 years mind the clock forward and both my girls, you know, and especially was awesome being flexible hours with COVID. So, yeah, so it's really made a difference to the family home and, you know, how the family runs, because I was just go all the time. So, yeah.
And do you find your own sense of accomplishment evolve over the course of your career and throwing just being a mother in? Like, how does that evolve for you?
Well, that's a good question, because there's so many different areas I've accomplished. Like, I've accomplished myself and my well-being. And one thing I've really noticed now that I've got the space to create, that my intuition's really increased. You know, sometimes I would not trust my gut. You know, I'd be like just so busy. And I'm really present to now that my intuition's gone up a lot, which is awesome. So that's sort of a personal accomplishment. I think accomplishment in setting up my own business, I never thought I'd do that. It was always like, I can't do it. I don't know what I'm doing. And of course I know what I'm doing, but I just had this story about setting up my own broker business. And one of the biggest accomplishments for me is being getting partnership. I like to do everything on my own. And I really got that it's not going to happen this time. I really have to rely on others who are in the industry and business partners. And that's made a massive difference. Yeah,
because I find, like, when we're going through school, when you're working for someone else, like, there is a scoreboard that you can see, you know, with your marks and with your performance, with your KPI at work. But becoming a mother doesn't have that scoreboard coming necessarily back to you, as well as, I guess, when you start your own business, that it's really what goals that you create and then what comes back, like either it's a match or it's not, because the feedback mechanism is not necessarily always there or as strong. And do you find that alter your sense of accomplishment in that regard?
I think for me, like in the corporate world, there was a lot of talk about increasing your KPIs and you've got to get to this level, then you get to this level, then it seems like it's still not good enough.
Yeah.
And I am a very, like, what's the word, motivated person, and I like a goal. So for me, having, you know, stretching myself now that I'm in my own business, it's actually been really easy because I've already got that drive. And I was listening to a podcast the other day and it was sharing about Tiger Woods and how he's really, you know, an amazing golfer and has been one of the best in the world. And he only changed two things to become the best in the world. And he never competed against others. He always competed against himself. And I think that's something that I've taken on as well, not comparing myself to others. I mean, I've been in the industry for a long time now, so I don't really need to worry about that. But I think one of the key things is not to compare yourself to others and really, you know, you're competing against yourself. So whatever you do or don't do, you get the goal, you get the results. So I've really liked that. I thought that was really good. So, yeah. So I think for me, accomplishing, really taking on who I know and what I know, and really challenging myself and trusting myself was the biggest thing. Yeah.
Great. And I like to talk a little bit more about if someone or a mom is considering becoming a mortgage broker, as you say that it can be flexible hours and have, you know, the benefit of being in charge of their own schedule, which is really a big benefit for a mom, what would you say to them and where shall they start?
I think the best place to start is always speak to mortgage brokers and just see what, you know, what they've got out of the industry and find out a little bit more about it if you don't know much about it, and really connect with other industries in the field, like speak to your accountant or your lawyers, and, you know, if they know mortgage brokers, you know, reach out to people that have already done it. There is a lot of stuff online, and you can go to, there's two bodies, there's the MFW, and then the two bodies where you can get your license, and they have a lot of information about the diploma that you need to get and the courses you need to get. And there's also mentoring groups. So I mentor brokers as well as being a broker. And that is the key thing, getting a really good mentor when you decide to go into the industry. For the first 24 months, you must be mentored if you're not working within an actual organisation. And I think that's probably the biggest key. There's a lot of mentor groups out there, but it seems like they don't always give the brokers the support you need in the first, particularly in the first 6 to 12 months. So, yeah, so reach out to people in the industry, and they can always reach out to me because I love talking to women that are looking to get into the industry. And one of the things, like, I didn't have any experience when I got into the industry. Like, yes, I bought my first place back then, but other than that, I didn't have any knowledge. So you can always pick up the knowledge. So don't be fearful of that.
Yeah, it sounds like a mom can get bombarded with a lot of information and not really getting the proper support that she needs if she just going through, I guess, the standard way. But what you said was actually find out the people that you already know, a friend's friend, someone you already work with, and find someone that is willing to give you that personal support as well as being a sounding board there for you would be a good approach for a mom, because, you know, when it's too much, it's very hard to handle.
Yeah. And the good thing about doing the diploma or the certificate is you can do that when the little is, you know, when you've got a little baby, you can do that online. So it's called correspondence. And perhaps when they get a little bit older, you can branch out and be a broker. But there's so many opportunities in the lending world of how you can start and when you start. So I always say to them, you know, the mentees that I work with or potential mentees, I say just start as soon as you can and get it started, you know, because another 6 or 12 months down the track, you'll regret it.
So, and then how would a person or a family's mortgage settings affect their quality of life? Can you say more about that?
Oh, geez. That's certainly going to change in the near future, because there is talk, well, the rates have started to move, and there is talk there's going to be some more increases of rates in the next 6 to 12 months, which will really, you know, affect some families that have borrowed a lot to the maximum of their capacity. And also if they are looking to go to one income, if they've had a joint application where they've both applied on the loan with joint income and then relying on the, you know, one income for 6 to 12 months while they have the bub, that is going to make a difference. So I say to clients, cash is good, so save your cash and have it in an offset account or in redraw. So you've got money ready to go if you go down to the one income. And if, you know, clients at the moment are really hesitant about the rates going up, I'm suggesting locking in fixed rates because they are really reasonable at the moment. And there's a few restrictions about, you know, generally no redraw, not much extra repayments, and getting out of the loans earlier. If you break the loans, there can be expensive exit fees. So I always talk to my clients about that just to make sure they know the restrictions within a fixed loan. But it really gives you that peace of mind that you can lock in 80% of your loan or 50% of your loan and know those repayments will be the same for the next 3 to 4 years, and just gives you that peace of mind. So definitely looking at fixed rates at the moment is a must. So one of the things that we're finding with families is that at the moment there's a massive amount of credit card debt out there. Like, it's unbelievable how much credit card debt we've got. And, you know, we all might have had cards where they've just got a little bit away for us, or you've had to use them in that interim of just having the one income. And if you've got a home loan, the beauty thing about a home loan is if you have 20 grand of credit card debt that you're paying circa 18% interest per annum, and you've got equity in your home, you can rent or the loan out, or you can refinance and increase the loan by $20,000 to pay off that credit card and then pay 3% or 2.5% rather than paying the 18%. So there's good things around that. Also with home, with personal loans, sometimes car loans are quite expensive, and if they're not tax deductible, you can put them all back in the home loan and once again get a much cheaper rate. So there's lots of different things you can do when you've got equity in a property to reduce what you're paying overall as a family. And one of the big things the banks look at now is living expenses. And that's a real key thing, that when you're looking at applying for loans, keep your living expenses, you know, at a level that you are, you know, able to work with, and not lash out on things that probably aren't necessary. Today's world, it does seem like everyone wants everything at once.
And it sounds like a significant life event play in a big role when someone or a family take on a mortgage or remortgage their assets. But how would you prepare someone who's going through a sudden life change as a mortgage broker when they come to work with you?
Yeah, okay. So one of the things, like in terms of, if you know, because often we've had clients that come through and they've got a lot of inheritance and they may have some certain debt, mortgage debt, I would definitely suggest that they look at talking to a financial planner, because I know a little bit about that, but I don't have the qualifications, only because depending what their future goals are, paying off their mortgage may not always be the right thing. If they want to have that as an investment property, then they might want to keep the debt if they're thinking of buying another property. So there's sort of things you've got to look at in terms of the flow of monies. So it's really important to plan, you know, what they're going to do with the money now and then 5 years' time, or, you know, needing money for school fees or whatever it might be. And then the same if you have clients, like particularly with these mums that I've dealt with, where they don't have as much money as they thought they were, or, you know, they've got to pay out debts, and those, it's all about planning. You know, the lending world is about planning, and it's so important that you do the planning first before you take the next steps. So often I've had clients call me and go, Lou, I bought a property on the weekend. I'm like, what? You haven't even spoken to me about the mortgage. How are you going to pay for it? And, you know, so it's all about planning and, you know, getting the right advice. And sometimes you need to speak to a couple of different people. You know, I say to my clients, you know, speak to this financial planner and see what they've got to offer, and really do your research and not rush into it, because there's always another property. If you're buying a property, there's always another one coming. So really taking time and, you know, understanding the market and, you know, getting, you know, advice as well, not just with me, but with other, you know, partners in the same industry. It's really important.
Great. Can you tell us a bit more about, like, the type of client that come to see you, and, like, what are those pivotal moments for them when they come?
Sure. So the main, well, there's two or three different categories. So you have a first home buyer, which I love to work with, where they've never bought a property before, and you really guide them through the process of, you know, how much deposit they need and how much money do they need to pay mortgage insurance or not pay mortgage insurance to avoid that. And then we have clients who are refinancing, a lot of refinances with clients who wanting to do renovations or debt consolidation, which we spoke about before. And then we also have, I also have quite a few investor clients. So they've bought their family home and now they want to buy another home for investment purposes. And I also do business loans. They're becoming quite favourable out in the market as well. And I also do self-managed super fund loans as well, so super loans. So there's sort of a few different arrays of clients. And I don't tend to have a set age of clients, but I do seem to attract a lot of women clients, which is great. So,
yeah, and when we spoke before, that you mentioned one of the reasons that you work with women a lot is because that you're passionate about women's financial literacy and empowering them with the right resources, the right network for their financial establishment, so that they can empower their life or the dream life that they want.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, I love working with, I seem to have a few centre of influences, referral partners, lawyers, who refer me women that are going through divorce. And there seems to be a trend with a lot of women my age, 40 to 50, who may not have always necessarily been all across their lending, their insurances, like basically the household living of financial world, their financial world. So I've really taken on supporting those clients, often coaching them through it, having a separate sort of structure for them, working out what they can and cannot do in terms of whether they can buy the family home or not, and work in conjunction with the lawyer, sit together, and we do some really good strategy sort of ideas of where they want to be now and in the future. And sometimes it just doesn't work out now when the mum's not working to keep the family home, even though they really want to. So they might sell, keep the money somewhere or invest in something else, and then wait until they're back on the market working and then look to buy another property. So, and sometimes that can be so disheartening for these women who've got no idea what they had anyway, and then to find out that they're not working, not to be able to borrow money, or if they're only working 2 days a week, their borrowing capacity just won't serve what they need. And so really getting them an idea of a five-year plan, a 10-year plan, you know, however far out we need to with their financial planner, I'm working with their financial planner. And I love doing that because there's such a, I mean, even though it's a really raw, emotional conversation, you really get to see this person grow from, you know, because the process is normally 12 to 18 months minimum when they go through the whole start to finish of a divorce. So that's one of my passions and where I really see there's a missing in the market to support women going through these situations.
Yeah, I can't imagine how dissolving for a person it could be going through a divorce and, you know, with all the emotional aspect of it, and then there's all the professional work, like with lawyers and mortgage broker like yourself and financial planners, and like you really want someone that you can trust and you can rely on, that know that they have your best interest at heart, to work with you through that process, like to give you the strength and the knowledge and the expertise. How do you find your work as a mortgage broker integrate into your life as a mom?
I think one of the biggest things that I find is that I'm talking to women all the time and it just comes up in conversation all the time. And whether they work with me or not, I love contributing to women around, you know, I have quite, you know, mums in the schoolyard saying, Lou, what will I do with this and what will I do with that? And, you know, just getting them to understand the market a little bit. And but that's one of the big things I find where it sort of mixes in together with being a mum and being a mortgage broker. The other area is I love going to women's networking groups. So when I go to those, I could be having my mentor hat on. I could be having my mortgage broking hat on. So there's a whole lot of different sort of areas that I work within under a mortgage broker, and I get to connect with these amazing women and talk about, you know, all sorts of things. I'm involved with state politics as well, so I get to talk about that. And I love contributing to people and having awesome conversations. And now we can get out. I've been to two functions in the last week where I'm actually seeing people, which is awesome. So that's where I love to be able to contribute to others and, you know, learn from, you know, talking to new people that I haven't met before.
Yeah, because I find becoming a mother is really learning the art of juggling. And if we didn't learn that before becoming a mother, that's definitely the lesson, one of the lessons. And that give us, I guess, so many advantage in the workforce too, that I don't think many women realize when they are being with their children. And is there any other lessons that you find that you didn't learn through books or school that sort of becoming a mother was the catalyst of?
I think one of the biggest things is really standing up for me and myself in the corporate world. It's quite a male-dominating industry, and often I probably didn't say what I really wanted to say, or when I did, I probably went a bit crazy, didn't articulate it in the right way. But now that I'm on my own, I really just turned the corner and just back myself. Like, I'm just know what I'm doing, and yeah, really confident. And I think that probably just comes with the experience as well. But now that I'm my own boss, I don't have to worry about, you know, this person saying that and checking this, and, you know, obviously there's still things that need to be checked for compliance and all of that. But I'm really trusting myself and being myself. Like, so much in the early days, I thought I had to be a set person. Like when I was in pharmaceuticals, then when I first started being a mortgage broker, I thought, oh my goodness, I don't know anything. I need to be a certain way. I need to look like this. And I really just, one thing I say to people is be yourself, because your branding is you, and be yourself. And, you know, one of the things that's really important with your branding is have a photo of yourself out there, because even though you've got this amazing company name, you are the branding of your company, and all your team is the branding of your company. So that's probably the biggest tip I can say in terms of what I've learned from being, you know, out on my own for the last 2 years in terms of the corporate space, and the joy of being the mum that I've always wanted to be. Like, before it was sort of like there was bits of me that was a great mum, but now obviously, you know, we have our days as a mum, but I really feel like I can connect and be there for the girls and support them, and when they ask me a question, I answer it now and not say, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think that's really awesome to be able to be, you know, present with them. And my eldest daughter's 16, so I've only got a couple more years with her and she'll be out and about doing her own things. So, and that's the thing with these mums that you're right in the thick of it when they're really little. You've probably heard it 50 times, 100 times. It goes really quick. So, you know, choose your destiny and, you know, go with it. And we all have bad days and that's just the way it is, but you get through it and really have some good women in your network. That's what's really got me through it as well.
Yeah. Since we're on that topic, what type of support network do you surround yourself with?
So I do some professional development programs, which I love. And so I've got a lot of wonderful friends and, you know, long-term friends now from programs that I've done. I also have been doing networking groups, so meeting professional women that way. Also doing state politics, which I shared about, so I've got some good connections there. And just having, you know, the school moms around as well has been awesome. And one of my biggest supporters is my husband. He is awesome. I think that's such a key when you, if you're in a relationship, your partner having your back. Obviously, if you're doing it on your own, that's extraordinary. But if you do have a partner, having them, you know, working with you and supporting you really makes a difference.
Yeah, because through the last 2 years, I really find like the friends or the support network that you have to laugh with, to cry with, to see each other grow is so crucial that I took granted for before. And now I'm like, yeah, I really long for that.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And when you've got little kids, it seems like, well, for me, it seemed like I was on my own a lot. And the thing that got me through, you know, when I had my girls were 5 years apart. So I sort of had just got out of the baby and then world and then got back into it. And one of the biggest things was my mother's group. I had a couple of girlfriends that were still friends today, you know, like 16 years on. And mother's group was a really good outlet for me because my parents both are, you know, a fair distance away. And so where, you know, whatever stage you are with children or about to have children, your network is so important. So really embrace that and take it on and ask for help. People want to help you. Like that's the other key thing, Sharon, as well. I really ask for help because people do want to help you. So yeah, that's probably the biggest mother hen thing that I could say for you younger girls.
Because I find that's really actual skill to develop and know what you want and how to ask for it.
Yeah. Well, it gets back to trusting yourself as well. Like I couldn't ask for that, you know, like it's sort of one of those things like, could I ask for that? No, I can't. And yeah, but you know, people really do want to contribute to you. And one of the things I've got from that I've seen from asking and requesting partnership is I get to expand on myself because I have it such a certain way it's going to be. But by talking to others and, you know, getting partnership, it expands who you are as a person. And then it expands them as a person because they get to contribute to you. So it's sort of a win-win situation.
Yeah, and getting back to a point that you said before, it's also about knowing who you are. And I guess it's a working progress because, you know, the person that you were when you were in your 20s is different from when you were in your 30s and before you become a mom, after you become a mom. So that all sort of transition through the time and being able to see yourself, it's also a vital skill. I don't think that we speak that much about as mothers. And like it seems to be a lot of our conversation has been what a mother has lost in the process of having kids rather than what a mother has gained. And I listened to some podcasts about like how on a research, a mother has evolved over the course of becoming a mother and that has given them superpowers, extra skills in the workplace when they do return to work. Yeah, I just don't think that we quantify that, we talk about that that much at all.
Yeah. And one of the things like I learned as a mother, you can relate to this obviously, is I was always, because I had children a little bit older, like my first child was 35, I was in control. But when I had this baby, I was not in control. And I remember I think the second or third night I was at Cabrini Hospital, I still remember this, and Ella was crying and crying and crying, and I was getting really anxious. And I said to the nurse, what am I going to do when this happens at home? And she says, you'll be right, you'll sort it out. And I was just like, I was like, I couldn't believe that was what she said. And I was like, and that started making me get really anxious. I thought, I'm going to go home with this baby and I don't know what to do with it. And then I got to about week three or week four and I was really having a hard time. So then I had a nurse come in and she was amazing. She was a midwife and stayed with me for four nights and got me into this routine. And then from there, getting that partnership, it just made such a difference. As you know, obviously there were still nights where she would cry, but I knew what to do and I had the confidence to go, oh, you know, you'll be all right. So yeah, that made a massive difference to me getting support, because I was like, oh my goodness, this is just, you know, I'll be crying at night not knowing what to do with her.
Yeah, it's definitely the feeling of being thrown into the deep water and not knowing like how.
And one of the big things that I did find was having that space with your partner, like with Steve and I. Like I really lost that, you know, because when you got a baby, you know, I really missed that connection for, you know, quite a while. We didn't do much together because we're just doing baby, baby, baby. So I found that really hard as well. And then also finding myself, I don't know, it must have been about 3 or 4. I'm like, oh my God, like I need to look after myself. Like, you know, I was just putting my hair up every day and, you know, just putting on whatever clothes. I don't know, there'd come a time where I just got present to who I was and, okay, now there's some time for me. You know, we all do that at different levels. It doesn't matter when you do it, but there's this time, this pivotal moment I remember with Ella, thinking, you know, oh, you know, come on now, you've got to start, you know, looking after yourself. Not so much with the second one, because the second one seems to mold in more, and that they just, you know, well, for me, Sienna just did whatever Ella did, because, you know, that's how it worked.
And I was talking to my girlfriend today about it. It's like as mothers, I find that our tendency is always to take care of other people in the family first a lot of the time. And then by that time, we're too exhausted to do anything for ourselves. But the thing is, nobody would really say, like, how about you take care of yourself? Like, I can't expect my 3-year-old and my 1-year-old to say, Mom, how about you get some time for yourself? Right? Like, it's like, duh. And then my husband has all the things on his mind that he needs to deal with. So it's sort of now his responsibility to be thinking of how I take care of myself. That's going back to the point of, you know, knowing what you want and then knowing how to ask for it. Because I definitely took it for granted before that I was always in charge of my life. And now that it's not always the case, but also prioritize the essentials, the things that I can't live without. Can you share with us your top 3 fill your tank activity?
So when you say fill my tank, like get me to the next level, like give me the charge to get to the next level, is that what you mean? Hmm. Yeah. Well, I definitely think having children got me to work out what, like who I was. Like when I was, you know, before I had my first child, I was at a space where I was like, I want to get out of the corporate world, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I think having children really gave me that grunt to, you know what I want to do. I know what hours I want to do, and I'm not going to take this anymore. And so that was probably the first biggest thing for me, recognising that in terms of the hours and, you know, structure. I think another thing for me is really having other curriculums and programs to be around and have other communities and like-minded people. You know, there's so many different programs you can do out there. And I suppose there's programs and there's programs, but, you know, the ones that have made a difference to me is programs that really get in your face and you get to see who you are and who you aren't. And sometimes you don't like that, but that has made a massive difference to me. And I think the third thing really is just as I've got older, I've grown and developed more. So, you know, comparing myself to 10 years ago, you know, you just get wiser as you get older, and really trusting my intuition has really got me up to the next, in this last 12 months, has really got me to the next level of I can have my own mortgage broken. Why not? Why can't I have my own mortgage broken company? And like everyone was saying, Lou, for about probably 4 or 5 years, go and do it yourself. And I'm like, no, I can't do it. So having all those things that I've just shared about has really got me to that level of, okay, we can do it. And breaking through the fear has really been a big thing for me, because we all have these little talks in our heads saying you can and can't do these things. So breaking through the fear and giving it a go.
Yeah, because I find like becoming a mother is sort of, you know, an enormous task without a rule book. And people will say to you things like, you'll be all right at home. What are you freaking out? And then, so sort of having done that, like this hopeless but precious little thing that you take home and that you're not too sure that you can keep alive. But once you've done that, you feel like probably nothing else is that hard. What is that as hard? And yeah, and those, you know, those talks seems to disappear because, you know, you've faced your fear, yeah, while you are raising your children on all fronts, because like, you know, when they were little, they were like, your concerns will be, would they, you know, bump their head? Would they fall off somewhere? Would they get into something dangerous? But when the kids are a bit older, it's a different set of concerns. So sort of you evolve as well as a parent. But yeah, I can't imagine having two teenage girls in my life right now, because mine are still quite little. And I'd like you to talk a bit more about how like that concerns transition for you and your family.
So when they're younger, you just, you know, you don't really know what, well, I didn't know what I was doing, you just deal with it. And, you know, like when I remember having, you know, Ella when she was so little and dropping off to creche and she'd be in tears and then picking them up and they don't want to go home. And then, you know, sending her to school, she was easy to go to school, no problems at all. And high school's been pretty good for her. There was a year, I think year 9 or year 8, there was a few little underlying issues. But the biggest thing for Ella has been keeping her busy. She loves football and she did do dancing. So, yeah, she's heading into year 11 now and she's really knows what she wants. And I think that makes a difference, you know, getting to the higher levels, then knowing, you know, she doesn't know exactly what she wants, but she knows what industry she wants to go to. And I think that makes a difference for them to be passionate about their learning. And I really had an open mind when they, you know, screw up and do the wrong thing, to listen to them and work out, you know, why has that happened? And instead of, you know, telling them off, which, you know, sometimes I do tell them off, but try and get into their world and find out why they've got to whatever it might be. And then my youngest one, she has dyslexia. So it has been a little bit more difficult, challenging for her at school. We've had a lot of, I've had to do a lot of pushing with the education department, getting support, finding out what she had, because in prep they said that she was being naughty. And I'm like, she is quite a demanding child, but her behaviour just didn't in line with who she was. And so in grade 3, we found out that she had dyslexia and she hadn't been able to read the board since grade prep. So there's been a lot of support now with her finally, you know, getting her to the next step. She's in grade 6 and heading into year 7 next year. And one of those things I always say to, you know, my girlfriends who are mums as well, you know, trust what you think. If there's something not right, go with it. And which I just kept going. I just kept, you know, persisting and getting the support that we needed. And she's always liked sport as well. So she's into a netball and dancing. So keeping her busy as well. And also I think a really key thing with your children is just get your husbands involved early. Like I would get Steve, you know, walking Ella when she was, I would so remember this, she was only really little. And I said, I'm going up the street. He goes, oh, you know, what happens if she cries? And I'm like, she'll be right. Anyway, I got back and she was crying and he was just walking in the street. So he just decided to, I said, great, that's perfect. And I, you know, from probably 12 months on, I would go away one night, you know, a year with my girlfriends and, you know, try and get them involved, because I feel as a family that's something missing out there. The men can feel like they're not involved. And sometimes it is easier just to do it yourself and really just let them go with it. If they don't bring the washing in the way you want them to bring them in, just let them go with it, because you really want them to feel a part of it as well. And I'm really fortunate that Steve is a part of with the girls and, you know, likes to contribute to them and hang out with them with their sports and things like that. So no matter what, you know, age there is, there's always challenges, but there's so many fun times. Like now my girls are getting older, I can really see where they're going to go and see the good work we've done in them. And, you know, when people say to you, oh, you've got really good girls, you're like, oh, yes, that's all you want, you know. You want them to be independent and polite and, you know, get out there and whatever they want to do, be, you know, be happy with whatever journey they want to be on. And that's another thing I see with some people, that they have this thought that they want their child to be a certain person, profession, and it just doesn't work. So just let them shine and be whoever they are. And they're going to mess up, and just be with them when they mess up, and, you know, work through them when they mess up.
Because I find that I hear that you really give Steve opportunities to be the father he wants to be, as well as you be the mother that you want to be and do the things that matters to you, so you can be that mom for your kids, yeah. as well as giving your girls the space to become the people that they are. And I find it's not always natural that way for most people. So sometimes it is acquired skill.
Yeah, and I think, and one point that I just want to share that I think has made a difference in our relationship, that is we have been through some hard times together. We had a business that didn't run successfully, then we had to sell our home because of the business. And, you know, there was a lot of things that we went through together, really hard times, but that's made us stronger today. It was either going to make us or break us. You know, and this was all going on when Sienna was like 2 years old. So I think that's really, I don't know, it's brought us together in some ways, because we had to, you know, work out together what we were going to do. You know, things don't always go the way you want them to go, but it's given us a different perspective on life and be grateful for things. Because I think it's very easy in today's world, we can get whatever we want, and people get so sucked into the money and working the long hours and competition, and you know, that your kids don't want that. They want you to be around, they really do. And I say, now that I'm out of this world that I was in, it's so present when you see kids that are unhappy. Majority of the time it's because of what's going on in the family home. And if you take responsibility for that, anything's possible with your kids, it really is.
Yeah, because this being a parent, really, there is so much things out there, but there also isn't exactly how it is going to be for, like, nobody have a glass ball that can tell you if you do this, it's going to work with your kids. And it's a trial and error for a lot of the parents. And sometimes I can definitely imagine if the parents are too bogged up with, you know, everything that's happening at work or outside of the homes, or, you know, chasing the goals and spending the money. I hear something that's really funny today. Spending the money that you don't have to impress the people that you don't even like. If when you're bogged up with all of those things, like, you really don't have much time, brain space for your kids, and your kids pick that up. Yeah. And then it's like, and then the parents will be like, why are you being so difficult? And then the kids won't say the words because they didn't have them. Like, why are you not paying attention to me? Right?
Yep.
Your partner may say that, but your kids won't. The only way that they know is to, you know, do the things to get your attention. And then, you know, it escalates, doesn't go, you know, how two mature adults would communicate with each other. Just a few things before we wrap up. Is there any silver lining for you and your family in the past 2 years?
Well, I think going through COVID, you know, I hate to bring the word COVID up because it's a bit of a dirty word, but it really gave us, you know, as a family, reunited us in a lot of ways. But it really gave me more of that certainty about I want to be at home being a mum. And, you know, like, being able to work at home was such a, so wonderful that I was able to do that in an industry where I can be at home. And it's really just shown me that anything's possible, even when we do have crises going around. And really just back yourself, you know, just back yourself. And, you know, you have that little thing that you think you might be able to do, give it a go. Like, give it a go, really do.
Yeah, crisis.
Exactly. Be brave and have fun, you know.
Yeah. When we think, yeah. you know, this pandemic is behind us, and see, you know, somewhere else is having flood, and
yeah.
somewhere else is having war. And yeah.
Exactly.
There's no perfect moment ever. What type of world are you committed to build on for your girls as a mortgage broker?
Yeah, well, one of the things that I really love that question, because one of the reasons why I really got passionate about speaking up in the corporate world is because my girls are going to be in an industry of I don't know what right now, and I really want them to have their say and be acknowledged for having their say. And I don't want to go about the women's thing and make that all crazy about the workplace, but really being present too, that we do have a say and not to be treated badly. So that was a big thing for me. With I was just really present to elders at 14 at that age. I'm like, oh my God, she's going to keep me going out working. This is not okay. You know, it's really not okay to be in this space. So that's been a big impact on me. And the other other space, I suppose, in terms of my career and girls, you know, I really want them to see me as an example, you know, being involved with, you know, I'm not saying they need to be involved with politics, but they can see that I'm doing different things, and they can see how Steve and I work really well together. When I'm not home, he picks up the pieces and pull him back. But he's, you know, having that partnership, and I want them to see that as something that they can do. And I talked to them about reaching out and getting partnership, because that was something that was never taught to me. It was always thought that I had to do it on my own. And one of them's quite good at it. The other one's not so much. She's more like me. So a little bit more learning and teaching there. But and just having them believe in themselves as well is so important. You know, for your kids, have them believe in who they are and, you know, let them shine and do what they want to do.
What would be the things that you would say to avoid doing for that to have happened, for your kids to know who they are and be who they are and speak out for who they are? Like, what are the things that you don't recommend doing? Because I feel like parents are doing everything sometimes a little bit too much, and they don't realize the impact of what they do, what they say on their kids. So what would you say to stay clear of?
Well, it's actually interesting. I'm just doing this program at the moment, and a dirty word in that program is your children can't, the word can't, do not say to them. It's a really dirty word. It's word, it's a dirty word that we all know of.
Yeah.
And it's really, really, I'm really present to that, because I know myself, I've said, you know, you can't do this and you can't do that. But really encourage them to, you know, that positive reinforcement and concentrate on the positive things, not the negative things. I know that's easier said than done, because I don't always go down that track as well. But really embrace on the things that they're doing well and reward them for that. We've just got a new puppy, and in the book it says reward them for good behaviour, you know, give them a little wiki. So the same with your kids, reward them when they're doing, you know, those really awesome things. And, you know, when they're not doing such awesome things, you know, get into their world and find out what they're dealing with. And I think if you can do that, you know, the kids will be, hopefully, you know, will shine. And, you know, there's always going to be times when there's issues, but, yeah, get into their world.
The last thing before we wrap up is, what would you like to see women and girls to speak more about, to talk more about?
Yeah, well, it's actually interesting. I went to a Women's Day, International Women's Day yesterday, and it was for women in mortgage broking. One of the things they said is women need to speak more about being a mortgage broker. It seems like a lot of women in the industry don't talk about it as much as what they possibly could do and go for more awards. Like, there's so many awards within the industry, but women don't tend to go for the awards. So I think, you know, talking more about lending and, you know, even with your kids, you know, like, some schools aren't great with the whole, just the basic budgets and things like that. You know, really communicating with your kids about money and, you know, when my 11-year-old thinks you just tap everything, it's this Wonder card, there's no money. So I give her cash, because she's like, just tap, mum, just tap. I'm like, no, you need some cash, because you don't understand. You know, there's this whole new world of tap. And so I think getting back to the basics sometimes, you know, makes a difference. And I always have my girl and wait for things. I don't look at everything at the same time, even though I'd love to. Make them wait, you know, make them, you know, often I'll say, you know, if after this month, if you do something, well, I'll get you those sneakers, or, you know, whatever it might be. So, yeah.
Delay gratification, hey?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Lou. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. It's been lovely speaking with you, and I'd love to do it again at another time with you.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Like this episode? Tell us by leaving a review on what topic you'd like us to chat about, what aspect of motherhood you'd like us to discuss more, what this episode leave you with on your motherhood journey. I'm very excited to hear how this episode have impacted your life, and see you in the next episode.